peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Much like I tried to show with the children here, our experience as human beings deals in a world of measurement. You know, a house has just so many square feet, it has so many rooms. A refrigerator has so many cubic feet of storage space. A person is of a certain height, has a certain eye color, hair color, and a certain weight. We even measure time, don't we? The house was built in 1945. The refrigerator was manufactured in 2003. The person was born in 1971. We're used to the idea that we can measure both things and people. Measurements mean limits, though. In fact, measurements tell us where the limits are. You know, if we say a jug can contain 1 gallon of iced tea, you can't put 2 gallons of iced tea into it. It won't work. We know the limit of the one container is 1 gallon, not two, so don't try putting 2 gallons of iced tea into a 1 gallon container. You're going to make a mess. Well, we live in a world where we can measure everything. Everything has limits. And while that's one of the challenges we have, when God reveals himself as one who has no limits, he's the one that cannot be measured. It's very difficult to understand that when we say God is eternal, that he's from before time began and he'll continue on to exist forever and ever and ever. You know, we mean that from God's perspective, all time is right now. When we say that God is omnipresent, we mean that from God's perspective, all places are right here. God has no limits, and that's very hard for our limited human minds to understand. Then, as though that weren't enough, the limitless God decided to save us by taking our humanity into himself. Now we have that one person, Jesus Christ, who is both 100% God and 100% man. I, for one, am very glad that God has not asked me to explain exactly how all this is to you and how all this works. Instead, he's asked me to believe that it is so. And he sends the Holy Spirit to give me that faith to believe that it is so. Today's gospel lesson from St. John is all about people who place limits on Jesus. Martha placed limits on Jesus. She said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died." Some of the visitors who came to comfort Mary and Martha said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Every one of these people put a limit on Jesus. They all believed that Jesus could have cured Lazarus when Lazarus was still alive, but now Lazarus is dead. There's no hope. We do that too, all the time. Oftentimes we believe that death is a limit. Just like the people in our gospel lesson this morning, we too think that death is the line when and where the power of the God-man Jesus Christ comes to an end. In a world of measurements, in a world of limits, in a limited way of believing, just like that box wasn't big enough, we too, we both doubt and fail. failed to believe that Jesus could possibly overcome death. Now, death is pretty much a universal experience. Different cultures have different ways of coping with it. But all cultures and all people must deal with death in some way. Human experience teaches us that, well, dead is dead. Once you're dead, that's it. Nothing can be done. I can vividly remember standing beside the bed of my own dear mother. They're in intensive care, and I had to ask the doctors three times. I went to them, I said, if we disconnect that noisy, tiny, stupid machine from my mom, what's going to happen? And each time they told me the same thing. They said, she's going to die. It was like, there's just got to be one more thing that we could do. But there wasn't. So despite the many causes of death that might be listed on a death certificate, there's actually only one ultimate cause of death. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write to the Romans in chapter 5, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Death spreads through and because of sin. Do you want to know if someone is a real sinner? Wait around and see if they die. If they die, then they were a sinner. But pastor, you say, everyone dies. Exactly. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches us through the words of the Apostle Paul. Faithful pastors preach law and gospel, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Faithful pastors will find that they don't have a problem a lot with law at a funeral. We don't have to deal with a lot of law. You won't hear many pastors, faithful pastors, preach law at a funeral. Why? Because there is a dead body, there's a casket, all proclaiming death. And with a sermon of such stern law like that pouring out of that box right there, the faithful pastor proclaims the saving gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. It's really kind of a sad thing at a funeral that you get folks that want to hear things proclaimed about all the good stuff that person may have done in their lifetime. You know, like maybe he was active in the community. Maybe she was very generous and kind and helpful and everything that a loving neighbor could be. Truth is, there's no life story that can overcome the proclamation that death has occurred. How can you beat it? And it's lying there right before us. The only proclamation that can overcome the message coming out of that casket is the proclamation of a man who stood at the entrance of an open tomb and cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! This is the proclamation of a man who calls out the dead and the dead come back to life. This is the proclamation of a man who is also God and who has no limits. This is the proclamation of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. The one who called Lazarus out from the grave tells us about himself with these words. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. These are words that can overcome the sadness and tears we feel when we've lost a loved one. These are the very word of God in His sweet gospel message for those like me and for you. Because we have each been touched at one time or another by the stench of such a price to pay for being a sinner. Oh, my dear friends, my fellow believers in Christ, it is you and I that will never die. Haven't you heard our Lord say to you yourself, did I not tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? Have we not together here in this place joined in prayer and thanksgiving to God, saying, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Listen again, will you, to that which God spoke to Ezekiel concerning you and I. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. We even sing together like the psalmist does in our psalm today. With the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him there is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. In this life, here on earth, we are driven by limits and measurements that only try to restrict our faith. That old crafty serpent, he continuously tries to rear his ugly head and cast doubt and unbelief upon you. Just like he did to Eve in the garden. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And just like Martha tried to say to Jesus in our text today, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And there were just as many Pharisees and Sadducees that are alive and not today, in this day and age, that are trying to tell you that one must do this or do that in order to be saved, thereby belittling or negating our Lord's passion and death upon the cross. No. The law of God is just as applicable today as when Moses carried them down from the mountain that day, thousands of years ago. And God saw our inability to keep his law. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So our sins have been forgiven us. And we will live forever and ever and ever. It is by the unlimited power of Jesus Christ and his obedience upon the cross that you and I can celebrate today the great marriage feast of the Lamb. And oh, you gotta hear this. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. That's you and I. Today, come, let us worship and praise him who has no limit, who has granted us this wondrous gift of everlasting life. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.